Hello, and welcome to Priest Alive 31. I'm Matt Stoltz, and with me is Mikla Sousa and the wonderful Joseph Parisa. We're super happy to have you guys back again this week. We've got a great show. I am so excited. We have with us Kieran and Charlie from Frame Theory 3D. They are 3D printing turntables. So for all of you that love your vinyl records, they're making 3D printed turntables with our machines and our filament, which is super exciting. But yeah, so let's kick off the show as always with everyone's Prusa Printers picks of the week. What do you have this week, Mickey?
Okay, mine is gonna take a while, I guess, to go through. Yeah.
Oh.
But it is a funnel.
Okay.
But it is a parametric funnel. So you can
Wonderful.
Make whatever size you want. Guess what this huge funnel with this huge opening is for? It's for a resin, because, you know, when you have to pour the resin from the wet, it's super nice to have a big funnel where you can just dump the whole wet without worrying that it's going to spill over somewhere. And also, it has a huge opening because the resin bottles have also a huge opening on top. So
and the viscosity
also,
of the resin. Yeah, the viscosity of the resin.
Yeah, that's true. I need to make some kind of mesh.
Yeah.
To filter the resin, that's true.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, this one is still unused.
The viscosity of the resin, if you don't have a thick entry, it also tends to like bubble too much and it's hard to get it to come back out. And so
exactly.
That's really useful.
It's by Herbrain, but that's a remix, and the original is by Tomei. But the thing is, it's an OpenSket design. Like I said, it's parametric, and I have OpenSket opened right here, so I don't think we've played it with OpenSket on stream yet. But yeah, for those who don't know it yet, this is what Joe used to design all the parts for them.
Yes,
for them i3, right?
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, there's nice UI for that now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I haven't opened OpenSket in ages.
Yeah, I get that. It's nowadays it's not used much, but it's still super awesome. Basically, in the code here, you define a few variables. And then it even has nice UI for the parameters that you define. So you can change all of these variables as you wish. And you can see that the model is just updating, nearly real time.
Yeah. Yeah, for all of you that haven't been in 3D printing that long, like Fusion 360 and Onshape and things are, you know, relatively recent. And so back in the day, the best way to get parametric design and be able to change things easily with just adjusting numbers was OnSCAD, because everything else out there was like Google SketchUp and things like that didn't really support being able to easily rearrange and change your models.
Yeah.
So
and it's like, it's not that difficult, really. Just with complex design, it gets complex code. But yeah, you have some, make cube and you give it dimensions and you translate it with 0, 0 and minus height. So you move it downwards with in the Z axis. So yeah, it's kind of fun. If you haven't gave it a shot yet, like try it. It's pretty sweet.
I haven't been in OpenSCAD in a long time, but I still love it. And the fact that they've built the customizer piece directly into it now, I think is really useful, because now people can upload OpenSCAD code and open it, and we don't have to rely on customizers that are built into file repositories that may no longer work.
Also, people can just
or you can have bazillion of the customized versions spamming the site.
Right,
Then you will have the most models on your site.
Yeah.
When you have 5,000 keychains, which is different people's names on them. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Maybe we should put the customizer on.
Maybe, but
I get begged for it all the time, and it's hard for me to explain to the devout why it's not a top priority.
We've never done a poll. I'm not gonna do the poll that you think I'm gonna do, but I've always wanted to try a poll, so let's try how this works. Have you ever used OpenSCAD? So let's see. I mean, hopefully it's done something. I don't know. You tell us in the chat if it's doing something.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
But I'm on the same channel.
Now it popped up.
Ah, good.
It's giving us live results. That's fun.
Good, 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 good.
So in the meantime, Joe, what's your print?
So my print is a puzzle from the last competition. I just finished it, you know, like half an hour ago. So I wasn't able to finish it. It's supposed to do, it's supposed to make an X.
All right.
And it is by Arquetrico. But, you know, I will need to work on this still. Yeah, Mickey, you need to see the solution.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can stream it. There we go. Oh, so this is how it's supposed to go together.
Looking exactly the same now.
Get it? That's a puzzle. I agree. All right. Nice. And Matt?
Great. And that is from our current competition that's running right now. So
right. Yeah. Right. The one that's games, plays, and puzzles, just tabletop gaming in a nutshell.
Right.
Yeah. Already 109 entries.
Some really nice entries, actually.
Yeah. Yes. Super excited to see what continues coming on that one. But yeah, there's already some great ones coming in. All right, so my entry, I actually need to switch over to a different camera real quick.
Ooh, more cameras.
Fancy.
See, there we go. Okay, so this is from our guest, actually last show. So
I
this
know,
is 3D.
I've seen this
model.
Yeah,
so this is 3D Print Bunny.
Oh,
so
I see.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I
she
see.
Had been playing around
so
with
it's
her
print
her
in place.
Yeah, her stringing prints. So this is a print in place tensegrity table. So looks
very
like
nice.
A nice stable table here. But if I remove the model from the top, the whole thing comes apart. So the two strings, let's see. I'm going to bring this back over to my main camera.
Good thing I made you full screen.
Yeah. Yeah, so... yeah, the whole thing prints in place with these four strings across, and you know, when nothing is on it, they're able to flop around. But when placed the right way and the weight's on there, they keep hold everything in place and keep everything stiff, and it stays together. It's kind of about a year ago, this was like the every woodworking YouTube channel was building tables out of these things.
I remember.
But yeah, I love that this is a print in place model. So those are just little strings.
That's
of,
smart. I haven't
filament.
Seen this twist.
You can
on
just
it.
Click a print and you get to play with this.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I saw her posting it on Twitter afterwards. I was like, oh, that is so cool. So this weekend, I was like, hey, I don't see that on Prusa Printer. Are you gonna upload that? So she knew that was coming as my pick of the week this week. So that, yeah.
Nice. There's now another one, a hexagon one.
Yeah. That's the newer and kind of very fancier nice. Version that she has created.
Very nice.
Mm.
Yeah, 3D Print Bunny has been putting out some pretty insane prints lately.
How long did she say is she in 3D printing?
Yeah,
like a year?
Year or something.
Yeah,
right?
Like a year. And she's just killing it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Very nice. So now we can go back to DePaul. And that's actually kind of surprising for me. We have 210 votes. And okay, the majority said no, they've never used OpenSCAD, but we have like 40% of people who say that they did try OpenSCAD. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Very cool.
On my screen, I just see no 58.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. Also, our first poll. So if you know, Matt, Joe, if you ever think that it's a good time to do the poll, we can do a poll now.
We can do polls.
Nice.
Yeah, fantastic.
Wow.
That can be useful from time to time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we have for news? Kind of the biggest thing right now is we have a back-to-school sale going on. So a lot of you are enjoying your summer vacation, but school will be right around the corner. And we have a sale going that if you order a Mark IIIs Plus, you get a free powder coated build sheet with your order. So
if you use the promo code.
Oh, there's a promo code. Okay. Yeah,
you have to use the promo code.
Do we have that promo code, Mickey?
Is it a big secret now? It's not a big secret. I believe is it a summer project? I don't know.
Oh God.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to our Facebook or something. Oh my God.
Preparation is the key.
Preparation is the key. All right.
No one told me there was a promo code. So
yeah, you have to use the promo code when you. Joe is gonna open it up when you check out in the eShop. But you get one sheet for each printer, by the way, not just one sheet for the order, which I think is pretty nice. Yeah.
Summer project.
Yeah,
summer project.
Okay.
I will post it in the chat.
Nice.
Yes. So use the code summer project and you can get a free powder coated build sheet with your Mark IIIs.
Oh, yeah. The chat already knew. I believe. I'm going to assume.
Of course they know.
Yeah. Yeah, they know.
Yeah, we have no idea, but of course they know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So that's a thing.
Yeah.
And another thing I guess we can talk about is the upcoming makes in Prusa printers.
Yeah.
I do
so
have.
Some of you guys are already kind of posting your makes in the comments of things. So if Mickey uploads a design to Prusa printers and you guys print it out, right now you've been taking pictures and adding those to comments. We are making a better way for doing that. So we're making these makes. So you'll actually be able to upload photos and more details about how you printed something and kind of link it back to the original model.
So I guess I can screen share it.
By the way, is anyone using the new thanks thing?
I don't know. They're pushing it really hard.
Yeah.
Online, but I mean, it seems to me at the moment like a worse Yegi, like a aggregator of search engine that search other sites. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, I guess. One fun fact, if you look at the URL, which, by the way, you can try, but it won't work for you. It's pretty neat feature. Like, whenever our devs do a new branch for a new feature, it auto-deploys a new website where you can test it. It's very sweet. Really like it. But yeah, makes. So why makes? In the comments right now, it's a makes of, you know, screenshot from Slicer, someone asking about, you know, how is this working? Some, you know, just picture of some detail on the print, people discussing the model, can it be improved? And then people posting the makes. And these are now mixed together, which is not ideal. So now in the new version, once we release this, there will be makes on top, which will be just pictures and comments flagged as a make. So that's, you know, just a picture of the print, how it looks, how it printed. And then still below, there will be like a mix of normal comments and discussions and other pictures. There's a new button right here, which lets you add make. It just wants picture for star because a make without a picture is really not very helpful. So we do require a picture. You can rate the print if you want. And yeah, you can just, you know, your typical placeholder text when you're trying something. You can describe how the print went, how you like the model, and you can publish the make. And on your profile, there is now makes tab, where you will see all the makes that, all your makes, which is nice because this is...
Yeah, you can track the prints you like.
Yeah, it's like a database of your prints that you can show quickly when you're on your phone and you don't want to search all the history of our pictures of the print, you can just go to Prusa Printers and show them the make, which I really like.
Yeah, that is a great section of the feature.
You can also just start typing a comment, and then when you realize that this is actually a make, you can still turn it into it. Right now there is a button. I think we might change this to a checkbox. We'll see. This is still work in progress, as it is on the test server. But yeah, so makes will make its way to Prusa printers, I'm gonna assume pretty soon. So that's just something new to look forward to.
Very cool. Always new features coming, which is, you know, fantastic to see. We can't wait to see what else is coming in the near future to Prusa Printers. So, all right, fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and move on and bring in our guests. What do you guys say?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we have Kieran and Charlie from Frame Theory 3D. Here we go. There they are.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Howdy, guys.
Yeah.
Welcome. As I mentioned before, Frame Theory 3D, they are making 3D printable turntables, and they are nice. Using our printers and our filament to produce these awesome and very unique turntable designs. So, yeah. Welcome, guys.
Hi there, I'm Kieran, Charlie.
Fantastic. And you guys, we were kind of joking about this at the beginning of the show. They are in Bath, England, and I am in Bath, Maine. So we are both in baths, but opposite sides of the Atlantic.
We are the only ones not in Bath, but we can go to a bath.
The next Prusa Alive coming straight from a bathtub near you.
Yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see.
I'm not sure if there's a bathtub in our company.
We have plenty of crazy stuff.
Somewhere.
I'd be surprised if there's
right. We have a bomb shelter.
Yeah. Nuclear bomb shelter.
Not nuclear.
No.
That was... this building was built between wars.
Okay.
So it's just anti-aircraft.
Well, I'll take it. Still useful, yes. So, guys, do you have any experience before starting this project building like turntables in more kind of classic ways, or did you just say right away like we're jumping in with 3D printing?
Well, neither of us had any experience building turntables. We're both massive like music heads. We've been into vinyl for ages, and the project sort of came about through Charlie's university project for his final degree.
Yeah, so like I remember this day, I bought a Prusa and I was so excited, and it was my first 3D printer. And I got Kieran over and I was like, Kieran, come on, let's go build this. It's gonna be great. So we got a couple of beers, we sat down, we built it. And by the end of it, I was like, this is literally the coolest thing ever. I love that everything's 3D printed. And I love it, the 3D print parts, I made a functional project. And this was just before I went to my final year at university. So after I built that Prusa, I was like, right, I need to do something. I need to make like a functional 3D printed product that makes something real at the end. And I had a load of ideas and I sort of looked through them, and I sort of, you know, as you do in a project, undenard. And then eventually I thought, right, turntable, there's loads of cool stuff we can do with this. Let's go for it.
Fantastic. What were you going to school for that this fit in?
Product design.
Nice.
Absolutely perfect.
I guess this was your master's thesis or something.
It was an undergrad, but it was like in the final year we had to do like we had to sort of self guide ourselves and do our own design, let completely loose basically under the guidance of tutors and etc. So so we're allowed to do anything, and I just knew 3D printing had to be a part of this, and I just had a really clear like sort of direction of where I wanted to go.
Do you have on you, or should I bring some pictures from your?
Yeah, right. Well, I have half a one on me.
All right,
because we're still doing a few mods and whatnot. But at the moment, this is like because we've been this is our new arm design, which we've been working on recently, and the body's away doing something else. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a full image on our Instagram if you the newest model in these colors.
This one, but this is, we've changed this quite a lot since the one that you used in the thumbnail and the one we run our Kickstarter of, because we sort of heard through the sort of it being out in the world, we heard a lot of feedback from people saying various things. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to address all of those problems and, you know, sort of solve and make the best thing we could.
Yeah.
That is not typical of the Kickstarter projects.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like the beauty of this project is that everyone that's backed us is actually going to get a product that's far superior to what we originally promised, which is really nice.
Yeah, that is very unusual for a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, if you see, this is the original sort of tonearm design, and this is now what we're left with.
Yeah.
So we've got a whole new system where we've got a sort of all of our custom, our hardware's been like custom designed and made. So we've got brass bearings everywhere, and you know, we've got a brass spindle bearing and a brass arm bearing, and everything's sort of, we're basically trying to make it as much as a, like a competitor on the Turtle Hill market, basically, but still showing that you can literally make this thing in your home, which is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess the thing about 3D printing, right? You're not locked into your old design because you haven't spent tens of thousands of pounds on a injection mold that you can't really change anymore.
That is
exactly. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, we can bring up some pictures from your Instagram to see the beauty. This is the latest design, right, that you just showed?
Yeah, that's it. The arms changed very slightly since then. Which I don't think we've actually put out yet, but we've just removed the inner section because we found that just working with the counterweight and everything, it makes it a lot more functional, and it also means it can be printed smaller, so you don't have to print that whole big arm bit. And it sort of, I think it,
we're also using this new design working on like a Prusa mini version, which
we're
quite keen to get off the ground. We've been doing some work, and we're hopefully going to get one of the printers in, and it should all be super, super easy to print on a really small bed, which would be exciting.
That sounds very cool. Sounds great.
Yeah. So we've got, I think we've got the build size down from something like 235 by 235 to sort of 165 by 135. So like well within the range of the mini, which is really cool.
Yeah, so this brings an interesting question. How many iterations have you gone through in turntable designs at this point?
I was hoping you'd ask that. I can actually... Actually, no, it's too far away. But there's the very first one right at my Instagram. Looks like completely different. So that was my university one. And then when I pitched to Kieran, I went, right, this is no good. And that was actually trying to use... we actually tried to use a 3D printed sort of platter bearing, which was never going to work looking back at it now, but it was quite a cool idea because I was really fixated on the fact that I wanted to use completely off the shelf parts.
I see.
But then I thought, actually, you know, well, to make it, that did work, but it wasn't, and it played records and all, but it just wasn't where I wanted it to be. So then I went back to the drawing board again and used like a standard turntable dimensions. And then I made, we did the Mark II, which, well, this is what we're calling the Mark II, the one we've released on.
Which we thought was perfect.
Well, Kieran did. And then I went to Kieran. I was like, no, not good enough. I'm starting again. So then I went back to the drawing board again, basically during the Kickstarter. And then we've finished the new design. I think maybe, I don't know. Well, I'm still tweaking here and there, but we're pretty much there now. Like, it's 99% of the way there.
I'd say three entirely different iterations with
several
minor iterations before in between.
Yeah, so that's a sketch from university. And so that one, so here I did have a few. So this was the very first one. This is how it started. Just deciding, bearing goes there, arm goes there. Is that going to work? And motor goes there, and that's how we sort of work it out. And then this was sort of halfway down the line where we were still doing like trying to do this massive bridging and trying to print it all, so it printed this way up. But now what we've done is it actually prints this way up, so you have to take the bridging out completely, so you've got a really nice surface here. And you can actually mount the motor in properly rather than having, again, annoying bridges and things like that. So we're just really trying to make it as easy as possible to print for people, so they haven't got any of this sort of quite complex stuff to sort out. And, you know, so yeah, basically that's how we've been going through it, approaching it.
Yeah, this is a good way to make it as simple as possible, because, you know, every printer or everyone's setup is a little bit different, so the capabilities might be a little bit different. So the simpler, the better.
Exactly. I think that sort of like echoes really strongly with what we sort of founded the company on, a few like really key ideas that we really wanted to share with people, which was A, showing that 3D printing, you could create like very, very functional, useful, amazing objects in your own home, and quite simply and quite easy. And like, I think it's all about accessibility when it comes to us. We want people to be able to have such a great experience and be left with something that they can use for years and years and years. And, you know, that's something really special about 3D printing, especially, you know, tabletop 3D printers.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the great things about this project also is that, you know, for a lot of us that still embrace and love vinyl, you know, vinyl isn't the most convenient way to listen to music. And so it really has something to do with you and your personality and the things that you love. And your turntables, because they're printable, are so customizable to the actual person. And, you know, you guys are playing around a lot with a lot of different color combinations and things like that, using a lot of the different colors that Prusaman is coming out with. And it really allows someone to kind of, like I say, customize it to their setup and make it a centerpiece of their, you know, kind of living room experience. Yeah. Or something like that, that really, really fits in. We kind of talked a little bit before the call, about the colors that you guys are playing around with. I will let Joe answer his question, but then if you could show, you know, any of the stuff that you guys are doing.
Yeah, I think it is it's great, because most of the audio quality goes from the what's the name in English?
Vinyl?
No,
cartridge.
Yeah, the cartridge. Mm. Yes, that's the name.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, obviously you can't have vibrations in it and stuff, but, you know, you can really go out of town and it will still play great.
Yeah. But we also really wanted to keep that in mind when, especially on the newest iteration, it sort of took us from, yeah, this is a 3D printable turntable, it's a nice project, to, this is actually a good turntable. You know, we've done sound checks with it against, you know, fairly decent mid-ranged, good sounding turntables, and as sort of stacks up to it as well, you know, with those brass bearings, with the good cartridge, with everything that we sort of put into it, you've got a good turntable at the end of it, as well as this amazing 3D printing project.
Yeah, that was actually something I was going to ask. You know, when you look at a lot of the kind of higher end turntables and things like that, they're building them out of very heavy materials to try to dampen vibrations and things like that. And, you know, you don't necessarily think about that for 3D printed materials, but it looks like, you know, some of the ways that you guys are approaching the design and things, you're still being able to eliminate some of those vibrations in the design.
Well, the whole idea behind the whole idea behind the brand name is the fact that the reason it's Frame Theory is because we have tried to take a turntable and take away everything that doesn't need to be there. So you know how they're normally like boxed, like molded right. boxes. Yeah. We've been like, right, what needs to be here and can't be here, and everything else is just not. Everything else is just not there. But like, we also realized after the Kickstarter, so in a way, I feel like it's sort of been like crowd built in a way, because we learned a lot of stuff as well through the Kickstarter that we maybe kind of missed. Like, people were telling us things about like tone arms that we may so didn't know. And that's really great that the people that like our customers or whatever are actually inputting towards the design in a way, which is really cool.
I think if you were looking for two communities that would be more than happy to give you as much feedback as you could possibly yeah. want, and then maybe some, the 3D yeah. printing community and the audio community are definitely there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think there's a really nice cross section there. Mm. You know, yeah,
but
and
3D
it's
printing
super
community
helpful.
Is nicer.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the design really is out there. I feel like vinyl is also about, you know, the experience, and it's often a like a conversation, good conversation topic when you have someone over at your flat. You're like, you know, are we going to just play Spotify? No, we're going to play vinyl, of course, right?
Because yeah. Of course,
it's funny. And your friends will go through your records and they will look at the packaging. And then if you have a turntable like this, this will, I mean, for sure will also be a conversation topic. Like, what's that turntable? Like, what the hell? The design is really out there. Yeah. And you're just going to go casually, oh, I made that on my 3D.
Yeah.
The thing is, what we really want to give people is that gratification that, like, when you've built something, like, it's like my dad told me this story about, like, a radio that he built. And that, like, it sounded, this was like, I don't know when it was, maybe like 80s. And he built this radio and it sounded terrible. But to him, it sounded amazing because he'd been the one to actually build it. And I really love that about, like, you know, our sounds great, but.
Yeah.
But like the fact that you've built something, you know, it just feels so great to sit there. And it's, you know, the same thing we had with that Prusa. When we sat there, we just sat back and had a beer, watched the first print go and thought, oh, yeah, we made that.
We made that.
Exactly. And yeah, so that's the kind of ethos of what we're trying to do, basically.
Yeah. And again, tying that back into the, like, this can be a center point piece in like a living room, you know, when your friends come in and flip through your record collection, not only can you kind of brag about, you know, oh, you know, I have this limited edition vinyl or, you know, something like that. You can also be like, yeah, and I made the turntable, right? Like it takes that up another notch.
But it was my birthday a few weeks ago, and we had a party in my garden. We invited all our friends over, and we had the exact thing. We had all of the vinyls there. We had the Songbird going, and it sounded wicked. And everyone's coming up to me, like, oh, wow, it's just so cool, like looking at it and stuff, like, which is exactly what you're saying. Which is really, again, really great feeling.
Yeah, very, very cool.
We already kind of hit on the topic, but some of the color schemes are fantastic. You're using some of the pastel colors, which, I mean, I also really love the Prusament, the pastel, the terracotta red. Is it terracotta red?
I think it's terracotta orange.
It's just terracotta.
Yeah. Maybe it's just terracotta, yeah.
Yeah.
So nice.
I think that, we sort of had the pleasure of some of our, especially the sort of Mark II iterations, and now we've done the Mark III in a classic galaxy black with ocean blue. But those pastels, like we were talking about before, like have this amazing like vintage feel to them.
Yeah.
And I think it really suits the record player, and they're kind of like a pleasure to print with because, you know, each color goes with, like, you can do any number of combinations with them and they just look stunning and unique. And it's a really, really great filament to print with, to be honest.
Yeah. Now you're using largely PETG in the turntables. Is there a reason for that?
Yes. So we basically we found that because we've tried to iron all these things out, but some of the tolerances we had were quite tight, and we found that PLA shrunk slightly more than PETG. So we like that the PETG was quite stable, and it could always give us a tolerance that we kind of would work, because before we were doing loads of push fit stuff, which we've managed to get rid of pretty much completely.
Yeah.
So if you look at this one, we had it so that the spirit levels were just pushed straight in. But now, instead of that, we've got where we use some plastic screws to screw them in, so we leave space. So no matter what state your printer's in, if you've got shrinkage, if you've got, you know, if your calibration's wrong, hopefully you should still be able to make it, because that's been one of our key things that we just want everyone to be able to do it, no matter what, you know, condition your printer's in, no matter what wrong with it. Potentially you might still, like, you know, obviously if something really wrong with it, not, but like any amount of shrinkage should be fine. I say, you know, reasonable shrinkage.
The thing is, like, we recommend PETG because that's sort of, you know, what we've been prototyping. It's stable. Right. You know, we know we can get good results, but it is possible to do it in PLA for sure. And, you know, we've people come back and actually do stunning with PLA, and they look really good.
Maybe like smoothed ASA would also look sweet.
Yeah.
ASA would be nice if you have it, you know, somewhere where sun can hit
in
it.
In a window, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Oh, well, of course, yeah. Yeah, well, I've been thinking about that for a while, actually.
Or you could do like UV clear coat.
Maybe, yeah. Mm, yeah. But yeah. even compared to PLA is a good choice because I think like behind like a window, Pedgy will survive sunlight.
We do not have UV resistant PETG on the printers and it is fine.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah. Well, also we're following in your footsteps because you know. And we saw that you're using it. That's basically the main reason. We saw that you're using Pedgy, and we thought, well, this seems to be stable and working, so let's start with that.
Yeah. That's good reasoning.
Yeah. When one thing's working in a production environment, it's probably not necessarily to entirely reinvent the wheel for sure. So we had talked a little bit about OpenSCAD in the intro with Mickey's funnels. What software do you guys use for designing your turntables?
Well, we haven't had any in a while, but we were using, when we've been doing it, we've been using SolidWorks because we're an entrepreneurship scheme with them, which is really cool. And I use that at uni. And obviously we haven't got any real capital doing at the moment. So at the moment we're just working on, you know, loads, getting the orders out and stuff. But yeah, our one of choice would be SolidWorks for sure.
Yeah, very cool. I love the, you know, all the designs and all the iterations and things like that. And you know, I'm sure as you get the orders out and kind of, you know, get that Kickstarter monkey off of your back of getting all those out,
but
you'll probably be, you know, back to the grind of, you know, kind of designing the next level and the next thing. I was talking to you guys beforehand and we were kind of joking. I would love to see a collaboration of you guys with Paul from Polymate 3D, who had been on the show previously with speakers, and you know, find someone to create a driver board like the guys at Pi Moroni or something like that, being that they're another British company that you know are into kind of making custom electronics and things, to make an all-in-one, like, you know, portable. You have a picture of like someone carrying like a suitcase, old school suitcase style turntable, and it'd be awesome to see an all-in-one that's, you know, mostly 3D printed components. Be super fun. Did we lose you guys?
We just lost them. Yeah, the connection was a little bit spotty at times, so
yeah,
maybe some. So let's see if they
pop back in.
But yeah, I love the project. It's records. I assume you have records at home, right?
You're kidding. No, they are now at brother's place, but yeah,
endless shelves of vinyls.
It was just National Record Store Day here a couple months ago, and I was driving around the state on a Saturday because Record Store Day is on a Saturday. I was driving around the state trying to procure a couple limited release records and got a hold of everything I was after. So I was happy.
I just started my collection. I have 5 records. That's all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like 5, literally 5.
Check and see where they were printed. I am finding a surprising number of my new albums. Oh, they're back.
Oh, welcome back.
Yeah.
You're muted right now. Yeah.
Very sorry. Yeah. We've got temperamental internet.
Yeah, it happens. But yeah, I'm finding a surprising number of the records that I have, you know, new presses are being pressed in the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the story was that they didn't discard the presses when the CDs and other stuff came.
Yeah.
So they were able to restart it. And now I think they are making their own new equipment.
Yeah, but they have been overwhelmed with orders for like a decade now.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's really insane.
Wow. And they are building the factory in US, I think.
Yeah, I've never don't quote me, but we're like the second biggest producer of vinyls in the world right now, or something like
Whoa,
that.
That's mad.
Like, mainly because of this one guy who just, you know, took the old machines from the storage, refurbished them, learned how to use them, got the people to use them, and started making them again. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's wicked.
Yeah, right. And it's great to see where vinyls are going too, because like now that they are more of a like focus towards a collector instead of just a quite utilitarian, like it's you know, for those of you that aren't in the vinyl scene and collecting vinyls and things like that, like the old school black, you know, vinyl record that we're all used to is really kind of going the way of the dodo. I mean, I think you guys had one that was like really kind of splotchy tie-dyed on there and everything else.
Yeah,
It's very rare now that I'm picking up vinyl that are just black. They're all crazy colors.
People are doing crazy things. Right.
I always hated colorful vinyls because as we were playing, you can't see shit. you can't see various between tracks and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure it's very different when you're DJing and like, you know, trying to spot things in a dark club and things.
I've seen like a hologram, like a 3D hologram on a vinyl, so when it turns it makes the 3D effect. And I think Jack White from the White Stripes, I believe it was him, he made a record where there are two different guitar solos and there's like a split track. And the needle just hits one or the other, and you're not sure which one it's gonna hit, and you get a different guitar solo or something like
that. Really?
It was something wild like that. I don't know if it was like
this. I would like to see this. Yeah. Yes, that is very
people
neat.
Just try to go make the craziest vinyl they can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, thank you very much. That was super awesome.
Why
don't we keep you guys on? We've got another segment of discussing our contest winners. But why don't we keep you guys around? And then if there's any questions from the audience in the Q&A section, you know, directed straight to you guys, then
absolutely.
Some questions from the audience, too.
Yeah, so, that's great.
All right. So, Every show, we have the Prusa Live Show Us Your Prints competition, where you guys get to show us what you guys are making, and we love to see it. Easy to enter. Just take a picture of your print still on the build plate, or if it's an assembly, just stick it back on your printer. Take a picture of it and tag it Prusa Live on Twitter, and you are entered in the contest and get a chance to win some filament. So this week, like I sent Mickey over a message. Yeah. I was like, you know, every week is hard to decide who the winners are going to be. This week was just awful. like how hard it was, because there were so many really, really cool and interesting entries.
Why don't we do it a little bit differently this time? Right. Because we just like, we did pick winners, but we would like to give shout out to everyone who sent their awesome prints. So I'm just gonna quickly go through them, because really it was really hard to pick our favorites from this. So Jan Radon, and he fixed a toy for his daughter, which I think is
that's super fun,
super cool. Then we have this really Nintendo Switch holder with it's so good. Yeah.
It's
ridiculously good. Then we have this Fruchaman's.
Does it work with the game? I haven't played through it, but I mean, do you have like the hand motion stuff?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, it would be super cool if it would, you know, like you could shield with shield.
I don't know. Maurice and his little drawers that repurpose used Prusaman spools.
Yeah.
Also
nice. This is evolving, because earlier we saw storage which just pulled out.
Yeah.
And this is just this is with locks.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then we have this crazy art piece by Chrome. Just insane. 3D print bunny made a few submissions. Of course, Olympics. I've been watching them as well. So 3D print bunny made a design on that.
Yeah, we are the first, right? At the Olympics, the Czechs.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, with the amount of people testing positive.
Yeah. Maybe that.
Yeah.
Oh, in this time with a print of the sunflower clock, the one of the winners from our latest competition.
Yes.
Oh, look at how pretty it is.
Yeah,
it is
great beautiful. Color choices, and yeah.
Then we have another print from 3D Print Money, and this one is insane. She posted before, like,
it is.
Do you think this will print? I'm like, I mean, it's gonna print somehow, but it's gonna be rubbish. And it just printed literally how she designed it. Like, what? What are those bridges? It's, I don't even know how, that's insane. Regisa, who submits all the time with another great thing. This is, I believe, a submission for our current contest, which is a game, but it somehow includes the wipe towers. I don't even know. I don't know. Joe Grieve?
It looked like you have to pick which one, and then you have to stack them.
Stack it.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds fun. We could play this in here. We have some wipe towers to play with.
Yeah.
Some Joe Grieve with some fade filament, some filament transitions.
For a nice dice tower.
Oh, it's a dice tower. Nice.
Yeah, and this is a dice tower also.
This is a dice tower too, yeah.
Yeah.
Cthulhu.
That's a great dice tower.
Of Vexter with, so nice.
His froggy Thor.
Lucky was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Sure. Then Local Maker with some thermal color changing filament. Some pretty wild design as well.
Yeah.
And then we have Mr. Flibble.
Oh, we've had Mr. Flibble before too, right?
Yeah, I believe we did. So cute.
With the right. Captain Caveman.
So, yeah, that was just a quick shout out to everyone because so many cool submissions, it would be a shame to only show the winners. But we did pick three winners.
Right. So who's our third place there, Mickey?
So the third place is Indisam. We have the Sun Flower Clock from the Prusa Printers design competition.
Yeah, I think his color choices here are just fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, it's such a beautiful print to begin with. But yeah, this is what one of the things I was excited about from the competition was waiting to see as more people started making the designs and how they turned out.
The color choices what makes it for me. It's
yeah, for sure.
Nice gradient. So congrats, that's our third place. And we move on to our second place. Oh man, did I already screw it up? So that was the second place. We are all non-traditional this time, we are switching it up, that was the second place. And we go back to the third place, which we already talked about because it is incredible. And it's the Sword and Shield for the Switch Joy-Cons.
I mean, it was basically a coin toss between second and third place there anyways. Yeah, so yeah. We'll just call them both second place.
That works for me.
Yes. Yeah, split second.
Split second, yeah. No, but that's also an incredible print.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mix of pieces from the Mini and from the Mark III, which is fun. Oh, clamps!
I like his assembly photos here too. That you know, showing the process.
You can never have too many clamps.
Ever.
That's the rule when you're assembling pieces. Oh yeah. Oh, and he reprinted the Mini, and he made the base, also from the terracotta and from some blue.
Yeah, correct.
Nice. So that's the split second, like we said, and we go. To our first
and
place.
That leaves us with the first place.
I'm gonna stare at it really closely to make sure I get it right, but I'm sure I'm clicking the right place. So we go to our first place, and that's the art piece by Chrome, which
yes,
yeah, I mean look at it.
Yeah,
yeah, and And one of the fun things about this is not with an MMU. This is all manual filament changes. So yeah, each different color is actually a separate print, and then he's changing the colors as he goes. This is a technique that I believe print to. Why am I blanking on his name?
All right,
some of you guys in chat know who I'm talking about, but he shows up at Murph all the time and has been showing like this technique off for a while.
So it's not color change by height where you make sure it's flat, but you just I saw this. You can basically set up an MMU machine. You give it to extruders.
Pattern to print. Look up pattern to print. Right. He's the guy who developed this technique.
Or I mean, in this case, you give it how many extruders you want, and you replace the change toolhead command in Prusa Slicer with M600, and you basically get a color change prompt instead of it replacing the filament for you with the MMU. It's a pretty sweet trick.
Yeah.
But I mean, it needs a lot of babysitting because you have to do all the changes yourself.
Yeah.
But you can do these things.
And one mistake and it's ruined.
Yeah, and you have to start again. This took 20 hours? Yeah, 20 hours.
Oh.
But a 0.25 millimeter nozzle, so
yeah,
that's...
But I think this would look dope with color print too.
Yeah, it would just need to be designed differently.
Yes, but...
Anyway, really, really nice job, Chrome. Congrats on the first place.
Congratulations.
Yeah, fantastic. All right. So this brings us to our Q&A portion of the show. So if we have any questions from you guys, we would love to hear them. We would especially love to hear if you guys have any questions for the Frame Theory crew, since they are still with us.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't been able to keep up with the chat this stream very much.
I know.
So I'm just going to try to catch up with that a little bit. We did have the poll, which was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I have been getting a question, and this was external, which is, will the VATs for the SL1 still work with the SL1S?
They should.
But I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
Yeah, let's follow up on that on Twitter.
Okay, let's follow up, but most likely, yes.
Okay. We will follow up.
Yeah. I did also get a question.
And Bob actually says that the motion controls may not be intuitive on Zelda, but yes, the game does work with those prints. For the Zelda shield.
Oh,
nice.
That's awesome.
That is great.
Nice. Well, yeah, I keep getting questions about Prusa Slicer 2.4.
I met with the guys on the terrace today, and they're like, "Yeah, writing changelog."
Yeah.
That's... Like, you are doing that for like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Is it that long? Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I met Wojciech, the team leader, today as well. I was like, "Yeah, wait, when is it gonna be? When are we gonna get Prusa Slicer 2.4 alpha?" And like, yeah, I'm writing the changelog. It's really long.
Let me see if I can see the changelog he's working on.
So, Valberg, asked, "How long does it take to print a songbird?" The songbird.
Well, I think I've changed a few bits now, but last time I checked, it was about 24 hours in total with all the different parts.
And
it depends on how many, and that was just doing individual parts. Obviously, you can fit more on the build plate, and that'll take less time. It all depend, you know, like So I guess you would probably be able to do it in 3 full build plates. So that's like, you know, I think that might take a little bit less time. But yeah, if you're doing them all individually, 24 hours around there.
Well, and full build plates have the advantage of like overall print time doesn't quite matter as much if you don't have to be constantly like
exactly.
switching things, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Not quite as bad. We did get another from Audio Garimi.
I think it's Audio Origami.
Origami, yeah, sorry. Do you have any movement and friction issues with the tone arm?
I think we just... The internet is spotty.
We lost them again.
Yeah, but we saw the bearings and...
Right.
So I would assume no. Not in the later versions anyway. Okay.
Yeah, but the last frame is spectacular.
Yeah. It always happens like that. What is the time frame for adding the paint feature to Prusa Slicer for the MMU2S? So that is one of the big things in Prusa Slicer 2.4. So yeah, alpha soonish, the main release will probably take some time. Are more ASI colors planned? Not that I know of, but that's a good suggestion for the Prusa man team. More ASA colors. It's true that ASA is pretty sweet, so
yeah.
Maybe.
If we can get it,
yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one thing with the Prusament team is are more ASA colors coming? Very, very likely, because those guys are always working hard to make the next thing, so.
Input shaping, what's input shaping, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, it is a simple concept, but difficult to answer scientifically.
All right.
Well, basically you measure the resonances of your printer, and then in the firmware you are getting rid of these the speeds you don't like, and that gives you faster printing speeds without the ringing.
Right.
This is all the hotness of.
And now Matt's internet is gone too, so the question
or,
is...
Or is it Matt? Is it Matt or us?
I don't know.
And guys are back.
Guys, you don't have to feel bad about your internet. Matt just suddenly froze as well, so it's all right.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, okay, good. What was
the recording has stopped.
The last question?
The question was about problems with friction of the arm and the movement of the arm. I assumed not, because we saw the bearings and the way it's...
Yeah. No, not at all. That was one of the things that I was, when we did the Kickstarter, I was a little unhappy with that, and I always wanted to fix it. So what we had before was a ball race that sat in something like this.
This meeting is being recorded.
And then another bit sat on top. And then this one here, actually, I can show you. So this one, and also we had a problem where the wires went down the side there, and they sometimes cause it to pull back.
All right.
But now what we've done is we've run all the wires down this carbon fiber arm, so they're all down the middle of that now. And then just in that brass bearing, they're all the way down for the center, so it's like completely, yeah, free as you like, really. And we've got that done we worked out the tolerances on that with the engineers who make it for us to get it
as
precise as possible. So yeah, no, we've had no issues at all with that.
It's a good solution. Also, the carbon fiber tube is quite affordable, because that's what RC guys use, right?
Yeah.
For their planes. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
and
nice
the fact solution. The tone arm has to be obviously super lightweight. So, well, you know, it was as light as it can be, so that it can travel nicely along the grooves and stuff like that. Because honestly, the amount of you need to knock it out.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you would have it like almost massless, I don't think the turntable would play, because there would be not enough force to push the needle.
True.
But, I don't think we ever get there.
Yeah.
No, it's just the what we had before weighed an absolute, like we what we had before was that lead screw. And that weighed so much. So then with the counterweight had to be huge. So that's basically what I meant, is that we can use a smaller counterweight now to balance it, rather than having that great big counterweight that had to waste so much to pull it back. And then obviously, because it weighed so much, it was also kind of harder for it to pull it across sort of thing. So that's basically what we're trying to solve with that.
I'm gonna do a speed run through some of the questions.
Yes.
Mark 3S, 32-bit upgrade. Eventually, I mean, there will be an upgrade.
I think we said publicly that every new printer will be 32-bit.
Yeah. Or more bits. More bits, more better.
The SL1S is using 64-bit.
And then there was something about... I saw something. Prusa Connect is in beta test.
Yes.
Closed, but the devs are about to send more invites for the test. So there will now be, instead of like tens of people, a couple of hundreds of people, which will be nice stress test for the environment. And how are our alpacas doing?
Good.
they're having fun. They're eating everything green that's in their sight.
We need some alpacas.
Yeah.
We need
office pet.
Yeah, but the sheep are little devils. They're always running outside.
Uh-oh.
Oh yeah, they're escape artists.
Yeah. Need an electric fence.
I guess it's kind of fun when the guys from the factory are running around trying to catch the sheep.
One of the guys from Top Gear just started a new show on Amazon, Jeremy Clarkson, where instead of driving cars around, he has a farm and he is showing the problems with farming. And the second episode, he gets sheep, and the sheep are escape artists for him too. And it's an ongoing problem.
And I think we can close it with Philip asking, is the XL still coming out on Friday? I mean, some Friday, but
All right, guys, that is our show for this week. Thank you all for joining us. One bit of news, we are probably altering the schedule of Prusa Live moving forward. So we will let you guys know shortly when the next show will be. But we look forward to seeing you guys then. Thank you very much for joining us. Stay safe, keep printing, and we will see you shortly. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone. Thanks again, guys. Charlie and Karen, for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Bye.